From 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and from the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll find out about the Comedy Sports World Championships coming to Indianapolis this summer.
I'll hear what the Carmel Brass is up to.
And I'll get a preview of the Actors Theater of Indiana's production of The Andrews Brothers. And of course, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Have been to see the comedy sports group in Indianapolis at their home theater on Mass Ave, but you've never seen anything like this when the Comedy Sports World Championships of Improvisational Competitive Comedy comes to Indianapolis this summer. Travis DiNicola spoke with Ed Trout and Mia Bowman, both performers and owners of the local comedy sports, about the World Championships.
This is going to be a very fun summer for you guys, I really appreciate you coming in because I know how busy you must be right now and getting ready for the World Championships. Before we get into all that, let's just start with what comedy sports is, because it is a ton of fun, and it's great to have a comedy sports chapter here locally.
Absolutely. Comedy sports is competitive, short-form improvisation. We have two teams that compete against each other, a red team and a blue team. Referee moderates it, keeps things moving, gets the suggestions, and helps keep it clean, because comedy sports is intended for all ages. So that's very important to us, that everybody understands they're not coming into some comedy show where you really have to worry about the language.
Right.
This is something that we
family
want everybody, everybody should be able to enjoy it.
So the competitive part, for people who've not seen this before, because that's what makes it so fun, I think. I mean, how do you explain that as far as, I mean, you actually have referees as part of it, and as you mentioned, teams and all this stuff, but how do you compete with comedy?
Good question. We have a red team and a blue team, and as Ed said, we have a referee, which moderates. So the red team will take the field or the stage, and the referee will take audience suggestions, and that red team will play an improv game based upon the audience's suggestions.
Okay.
And then they'll sit down, and the blue team will come up, and they'll the ref will get new suggestions from the audience. The blue team will play a different improv game. And when they're done, the referee asks for the judges to judge and decide which team was funniest, and that team wins points that are put up on our very old scoreboard.
And then at the end of the evening, the team with the most points wins
the meaningless trophy.
Yeah, so it I know it is a meaningless trophy, which is a fantastic thing, and I love that about the ads that I've seen already so far for the World Championships. I forget exactly what it says, but something like, you know, 22 teams, one meaningless trophy. But certainly there's got to be a lot of bragging rights with the teams that win, that do this. I mean, just from a local base, I mean, the red team and blue team, is it usually made up of the same performers? I mean, is there that ongoing competition?
In-house, our regular performances,
in-house.
Our regular players actually mix up quite a bit.
Do they?
We've got a large stable of local improvisers, and they may be playing on the red team one night and then the blue team the next night, playing with the people that they were opposing the night before.
Okay.
So
you keep
each,
mixing it up.
Exactly. Each night, the teams kind of may take on their own persona, or a team name that will differentiate them that night, but they're used to mixing it up. But when it comes to the tournament, that has a lot more weight to it.
Sure.
Because that's really teams from other cities. You only get a few chances to play against these other teams and really show them what you can do. So there is a lot more weight. We always say that we play to win, but we don't care if we lose, because the point is we all want to have fun doing it.
Right.
But when you're playing to win the big world championship meaningless trophy, yeah, you're really playing to win. It will mean a lot more.
We want to win.
Of course. Absolutely. Now, I do still want to talk just a little bit more about locally, because I love your theater space. You guys got such a cool space on Mass Ave, which, as you mentioned, a very old scoreboard, but, you know, a great little stage space, and you've got, you know, food and drink, and you've been there for quite a while now.
We have been, am I right, 11 yes, years? Going on 12?
Going on 12, yes.
Okay. Okay.
We were there really before anything else was there.
There wasn't a lot in that block 12 years ago.
No.
It was a little sketchy.
600 or 700 block?
700
block.
700 block.
Okay, so like right around like where Mesh is and the Cupcake Place.
We're right next door, mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. What was that space before?
It was a theater, and yep. Ed actually used to perform it.
Yeah, it was Raleigh's Dinner Theater, and they did a lot of musical reviews and shows along those lines with a lovely dinner. So, unfortunately, when they went out, that freed up that space. But fortunately for us, it came with a stage. There was stage lighting. It was already set up very much like what we would need anyway.
Mm-hmm. So it had a kitchen, which we knew nothing. We didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, we're entertainers, not restaurateurs.
Right.
But
now we're both.
But now you're both. So when you decided to have Comedy Sports at that point, to bring Comedy Sports here to Indianapolis, is it like a franchise? Do you have to audition or apply? Or how does that all work to be able to bring that here? Because it is an international brand now.
It's an international brand. We're not a franchise.
Okay.
It's more like a trade association, but we're not. Yeah. We're actually all the Comedy Sports across the world are we own a corporation together, so we're incorporated.
Yeah, collectively we are known as the World Comedy League.
Okay,
that is what we are.
Right.
Very cool. Okay, and so then you became a part of that 12 years ago or so. Now,
18.
Oh, 18, actually, 18 before you moved in that space.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, we were in town for several years before. We used to be up in the 30th and Kessler area with a very small storefront.
Oh, okay. Very cool. So now you mentioned you've got quite a large stable of local comedians and actors that participate in this. How do they get to be a part of it? And they audition? Is this a professional gig for them? Is this just for fun? How does that all work?
It is a professional gig. We do pay them for the performances that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them come to us through our public workshops.
Mm-hmm.
However, everybody that is currently with us did also go through an audition process. So they get lots of training, but they've had to audition to be where they are for us to say, yes, right now you're showing that you can be a solid performer for Comedy Sports, or maybe you need to go back and get some more training.
Yeah. Because there are certainly very specific skills that are needed by a performer to be able to compete in Comedy Sports. I mean, certainly, actors and comedians have those, but they're a little bit different to be sort of that fast-paced and working with other actors in an improv situation.
Right. There are rules to improvisation that one would have to learn before actually being really good at it. Ed's our artistic director, so he can probably explain that a little bit better.
Yeah.
There are fundamentals that we certainly apply all the time. And in fact, we also teach those fundamentals out in the community, going to corporations or other groups that need them, because the skills translate across a lot of different levels. But things like paying attention to each other, accepting ideas from other people, putting the team ahead of the individual, committing to everything you're doing, and making fun out of it while you are doing it. So those principles apply, but there are also so many smaller nuances that go into building a scene that if you're not used to doing it, you may still be able to get something funny out of it, but it's a clunkier process if you're not a little more used to how to build something collectively with these other people.
People who have experience in this, is there like a almost like a shorthand that develops in terms of how they're communicating things with each other to set each other up for things?
Or? Shorthand, I would say, in the good sense that anybody that you've worked with for 10 plus years, in our case, although we've been doing Comedy Sports now in our 19th year, Mia and I and our other business partner, Lynn, have worked together for like 24 years. Mm-hmm. So we know each other very well. And in anything, when you have that kind of a background and relationship, you can almost read minds.
Yeah.
And that's extremely helpful. It doesn't mean that we have that kind of shorthand where, oh, you're cheating in a guessing game because you know what they're going to do. It's not that. But
you know each other's sense of humor and style and rhythms that you can work together.
It becomes like family. You know your family members. You know what to expect from them.
Yeah. It sounds like it's kind of dangerous, actually. Like, don't try this at home without proper training or anything.
No, actually, a lot of people tell us they do try it at home. Our regulars come back and let us know how they've handled certain games in the family room, which is pretty funny.
That's very cool. Okay, now let's talk about the World Championships, because this is a huge deal, and congratulations for having the opportunity to bring this to Indianapolis.
Thank you.
do these championships take place every year, or what's the...
Yes.
Okay.
Every year.
Every year. And this is the first time it's come to Indy?
First time in Indianapolis.
Awesome.
So we are really excited. We bid for the opportunity to have it here over a year ago. So when we won the opportunity to have it here over a year ago, we've been excited and kind of been working on it nonstop. But now, since we are just about a month out...
Or less.
It's getting even more exciting.
So you bid for this. It's part of a big process. I just want to be clear. There's no chance of, like, player-owner lockouts or anything keeping this from happening? I mean,
it is happening. It is absolutely happening.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Even if, you know, we have to have some teams locked out, there will be a championship match with lots of teams participating.
Yes, awesome.
Glad
be.
To hear that. So who's coming here? I mean, it is from, I mean, like, all over the world, right?
Yes.
It is, because we now have, well, we've had for a while, Comedy Sports Manchester, England, and they'll be bringing a team, and we now have Comedy Sports in Berlin, Germany, and unfortunately, the manager of that team is coming, but they won't be bringing a team.
They won't be competing.
Not unfortunately, the manager of that team is coming, but unfortunately, the team won't be competing, but the manager is coming. We like the manager, Brian. He's a good guy.
We really like him a lot. Thank you, Ed.
So, but you've got teams from all over the country.
Yes,
and
Los Angeles, Chicago,
New York, Milwaukee, where it all started.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. And they will be competing at the Athenaeum. Now, I know there's a lot of other events that are going on that we'll talk about in just a moment, but sort of the headquarters of this, the main stage, is the Athenaeum down off of Mass Avenue.
Absolutely. That is where all of the matches Wednesday through Saturday will be taking place. Mm-hmm. Starting with the Wednesday night, we'll have a parade of the players from all over the place, parade with quotation marks. But we'll move them across the stage and have a lovely little opening part to the entire tournament. Mm-hmm. And then one match Wednesday, two on Thursday, two on Friday, two regular matches on Saturday, with the championship match being the last one Saturday night.
Okay, so basically, to win the championship, you got to advance from each one and keep on defeating and sort of working up the ladder there, if you will.
Yeah, all of the managers, and again, because we really want to win, but in a lot of the preliminary rounds, whether you win or lose is less important as to were you funny and did you have a great team there, because the managers will decide who is playing in the final
round.
Okay,
so it's the managers who are voting on this.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay.
We will be voting for us.
Well, yeah.
Just to put that out there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you got to be clear about that. So now, are the rules altered at all? Are they different? Is it streamlined? I mean, is it similar to what you get when you go to Comedy Sports?
Very similar to what you get when you go to Comedy Sports. The biggest difference would be that in a single match, you see four teams instead of two.
Oh, okay.
There are two in the first half.
Wow.
And you'll have a winner at the end of that half.
Yeah.
You take your halftime, come back, and there are two separate teams playing out the second half with a separate winner for that half.
So who is making up the Indianapolis team here?
We will have that announcement coming much later.
Okay.
We're going to hold off on that announcement because we felt...
Game in the competition here. Okay.
Exactly. But we feel like there's a lot of anticipation that builds with the other cities, and we want to make sure that we're making announcements close to the time when, you know, everybody else is getting their announcements in as well.
Now, can you tell me this? Will it be – it's traditionally four people on a team, correct?
Traditionally for tournament, yes, four players on a team. Our regular in-house matches year-round are usually three-on-three, but tournament's the time when you can beef it up a little bit.
Okay, so. And then will it be those same four people throughout the entire tournament, or can you mix it up from round to round?
It can be mixed up from round to round.
Okay.
It depends.
So there is a lot of strategy here, maybe.
Yes.
Interesting. I won't ask you to give away anything more here, but
we have to keep our trade secrets.
Okay, so along with the competition, which is open to the public, there's a lot of other events going on, both at Comedy Sports and other locations up and down the avenue. And
yes, during the day, another big reason why all of these improvisers all converge on one city is so that we can workshop together.
Cool.
We have a lot of teachers from different cities coming in for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and a lot of the local theaters on Mass Avenue. The
We have the Phoenix Theater. We have the Fringe building. We'll be using our space as well. The Athenaeum, we're going to have a couple of different workshops going through in the Athenaeum. And then so some space back at the Sheraton as well.
Right. Okay. So we'll have improvisers walking all up and down Mass Avenue pretty much for the entire week.
How fun.
Yes.
Well, this sounds great. And lots of opportunities for the general public to come down and check stuff out and see what's going on and, of course, support our local team.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes.
I know that you can't do this without the support of lots of other people in the community. You've got some great local sponsors.
We absolutely do. In addition to the places that are letting us hold our workshops and so forth, we're getting some great sponsorship from Nouveau News Weekly, from Seeger Photography, from the Athenaeum, amongst others. We've just got Mass Ave merchants, just tons of help from lots of folks, and we appreciate it more than they know.
Well, let's be very clear about this. I am rooting for you guys. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
And I expect you to, I guess it's not even bring home the trophy. It's keep the trophy
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
That is
yes.
our plan.
Okay.
So thank you. We appreciate the support, Travis.
Yes.
You're very welcome. Okay. Well, good luck, guys. I'll let you go get to work.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Travis DiNicola with Ed Trout and Mia Bowman, both performers and owners of the local comedy sports group. The World Championships of Comedy Sports takes place from July 20th through the 23rd at the Athenaeum downtown. A portion of the proceeds will be donated to the Indiana State Chapter of the Multiple Sclerosis Society. For more information, visit IndyComedySports.com, IndyComedySports.com, and remember, sports is spelled with a Z on the end, so IndyComedySports.com. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
Carmel Brass was formed in 1970 by its music director, Tom Akins. Its original name was Chamber Brass Choir, but the group has recently moved its operations a bit north. The ensemble, which is the only professional brass ensemble in the state, comprises members of the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra, and members of several other Central Indiana ensembles. Sharon Gamble invited Tom into our studios to learn more about Carmel Brass and its new home.
Carmel Brass is, as you pointed out, the latest of our names. We began life in 1970 as Chamber Brass Choir, and we did so because I put together an ensemble to play the public opening of the brand new, at that time, Indianapolis Museum of Art on the corner of 38th and Michigan Road. And when that wonderful edifice was christened, we were the people playing the music for the public opening. And we positioned ourselves on a porch, balcony, if you will, just above one of the plazas. And we played the ribbon cutting and the opening ceremonies and then a concert to welcome the public into this wonderful building that we now have certainly learned to love as the Indianapolis Museum of Art.
What a fun gig to program.
It was. Indeed it was. And, of course, you know, by virtue of being a large brass ensemble, we have great repertoire at our disposal. We can be celebrational. We can be patriotic. We can celebrate various holidays. We can roam through repertoire of classical and pops and seasonal and all these sorts of things because composers have been writing music for brass instruments for at least 500 or 600 years, and other repertoire has been adapted for brass instruments for periods that range even older than that.
Hmm.
So we never run out of things to play and things that are appropriate for the situation.
For the many of our listeners who heard your name and immediately pictured you behind the kettle drums on stage of the ISO, percussionist, starting a brass ensemble. Explain that.
It all came from college. When I was at the College Conservatory of Music of the University of Cincinnati, try fitting that onto a blank someplace.
Or a business card.
Yes, exactly. I was able to play in what at the time was the best performing ensemble on campus, which was the A Brass Choir, conducted by Ernest Glover, who was the second trombonist of the Cincinnati Symphony at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quite a character, very influential in many ways, most of them positive. And he, there are more Ernie Glover stories than we have time to tell, but that's
darn
subject
it.
Of another
next
show.
Time.
Anyhow, the whole idea was I figured out, you know, and fell in love with the art form of large brass ensembles. And when the opportunity to form one here came, I certainly jumped on it, and you know the idea has always been, and I say this sometimes publicly, My philosophy of this whole idea is surround yourself with the best possible performers and try to stay out of their way.
Mm.
Let them play. Let them do their thing nicely. We use the top professionals here in the city and in the area. We have members of the Indianapolis Symphony, the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra. We have faculty members from almost all of the area universities, including IU and Butler and Purdue and Ball State and many of the other ones, UIndy, you know, all along like that. So this is the whole idea. We get together for the enjoyment of playing with each other, and it is fully professional. We do get paid, but the money is not the primary goal.
Sure.
We don't get paid that much. It can't be the primary goal.
So you're conducting a number of colleagues with whom you've played over the years.
Say that again?
You're conducting a number of colleagues with whom you've played in the orchestra under somebody else's baton over the years. Is there any, is it ever hard to reconcile those roles?
No, not really. No. It's all about the music.
Yeah.
And I have an unlimited amount of respect for the players who agree to join us on a given day for a concert by Carmel Brass. I know they're good. I know that they know what to do. And so what we do is what often takes place in any performing ensemble, especially on the professional level. We're simply there to shape the music. We are not there to make judgments and criticisms of each other or anything of the sort like that. If that were the case, they wouldn't have been asked to play in the first place.
Sure.
So the whole idea of getting along for the sake of the music is really what it's all about. And we have no problems that way. Everything works out beautifully.
And because of the level of the players, you can get by with maybe less rehearsal time than might be ideal on paper.
That's probably...
Because everybody comes in at a high level.
I would say that you've just made the understatement of the century.
Wait, are you incorporated as a not-for-profit, and do you need developed income? Do you need donations?
Yes to all of the above.
Okay.
Carmel Brass Incorporated is indeed a not-for-profit corporation. We have a website so folks can contact us if they wish, and that is the usual www.carmelbrass.com.
Hmm.
So it's carmelbrass.com on the website. There are all sorts of ways to contact us, and you can find out some information about us. And you know, we certainly welcome support, because as with any professional ensemble, that is one of the primary challenges, if not the primary challenge. It's easy for me to get good players to come and join us. It's easy for me to pick out good repertoire and to be appropriate to the situation into which we've been invited. But it's always an ongoing challenge to raise enough money or to find the sponsors or to find the folks who have in their budget the opportunity and the ability to hire a rare, very good professional brass ensemble to come and play for them. So I would welcome any kind of assistance in that direction that anybody might wish to offer.
And for all that, when a lot of people see a large brass ensemble show up, they're expecting Sousa, they're expecting Gabrielli. You're also a champion of contemporary music. You slip some into your programming.
Well, we are, and I want to explore the first part of what you just said, because quite often when people hear Carmel Brass, what they're really thinking is Canadian brass. And they are surprised that we are 16 people large instead of 5 people large. We are not a quintet. We are, in fact, a large brass ensemble with 4 trumpets, 4 horns, 3 trombones, euphonium, tuba, and 2 percussion players, and yours truly with the baton in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of us showing up, that also probably describes a little bit more the financial challenge that we have, because if we're going to pay 16 people, that kind of describes what our sponsorship needs happen to be.
Sure.
The repertoire, on the other hand, as we pointed out earlier in our conversation, is vast. And we're always looking for new things. This past winter, for instance, we were able to premiere a new composition by a Carmel area composer whose name is Scott Jurek. Scott wrote a piece specifically for us. He had heard us play in one of our concerts that we did a couple of years ago at the Monon Center in Carmel. he became enamored with the ensemble, its skill, and the possibilities that were inherent therein, and wrote a piece. And as it so happens, we were invited to play for the public opening of the Palladium and got a chance to present Scott's piece at that point, and in fact have used it again and will continue to use it in our repertoire. So that's just a small example of the contemporary side of playing. We also use contemporary arrangements of traditional pieces. A lot of our patriotic repertoire has been arranged by a gentleman by the name of Yari Villanueva, who is the staff arranger for the United States Air Force Band, and also is a trumpet player and bugler of great renown, found out while touring Arlington National Cemetery and discovering in their museum house a picture of Yari Villanueva with his bugle playing taps, and under the picture was the caption, "The most often performed, most often asked performer of taps at military funerals is Yari Villanueva." So we had a star in our own midst, and I didn't even know it. But, you know, that's the kind of thing that we use. We always try to play music of really, really top-notch quality.
Sharon Gamble with Tom Akins, founder, music director, and conductor of the Carmel Brass. You can hear them in a free concert this Sunday, July 10th, from 6 to 8 p.m., in the centerpiece at Cox Hall Gardens, 2000 West 116th Street in Carmel. Learn more about Carmel Brass at carmelbrass.com. Sharon, let me see your hands. Okay, I count 10 fingers.
Yes.
It looks like I've got all my...
Oh.
Okay, well, we both survived Independence Day.
Like I promised.
That's right. So, good, we had a very safe Independence Day.
Indeed.
And now we are in the middle of summer, in
that's
the thralls
right.
of summer, and lots of things to celebrate and do that we'll talk about on that calendar we call
What
Do
We
Do? That's right.
In early July.
Hey, one thing I definitely want to mention, just started this weekend, the Indiana Black Expo presents the 41st Annual Summer Celebration at the Indiana Convention Center, as well as a whole bunch of other places downtown. It goes on through July 17th. Live music, music heritage festivals, youth activities, workshops, employment opportunities, health fairs, cultural pavilions, all types of other stuff. Check out IndianaBlackExpo.com for more information.
Excellent. If you've never seen Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, here's your chance coming up at the Ricks Center for the Arts. The Ricks Weil Theater Company is presenting this. Where is that venue you're saying?
Where is that venue?
It's 122 West Main Street in Greenfield, a short drive from Indianapolis. By the way, there's some good antiquing in Greenfield, so you might combine that with your day. You can see Cinderella on July 15th, 16th, and 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. So next weekend and the following weekend. And if you go to Google and plug in Cinderella and Greenfield, you will get a little bit more information about that lovely family-friendly musical. You can take your kids and who are bored because they're out of school unless they're in a year-round school.
Cool. Awesome. There's a lot of great concerts coming up, you know, certainly during the summer. Steely Dan is coming up July 15th at the Old National Center. And New Kids on the Block has nothing to do with Steely Dan at all. New Kids on the Block, Backstreet Boys, they're July 26th.
I've never heard those in the same sentence before. I'm intrigued.
There's also, of course, the concerts on the Canal series, which are the concerts that take place down at the Historical Society and on the canal down there. And those are every Thursday. And they take place from 6 to 8 p.m. Lots of fun. You can rent a table or just sort of take your chances and see what you can get. But coming up on July 14th, Forever the Tribute, Favorite Hits from the Beatles. And then on July 21st, Sizzling Greg Bacon with blues, jazz, and a lot more. Lots of fun.
And you don't have to eat pork to go hear him.
No, you don't have to eat pork to go hear him. That's right.
I was waiting to see if you were going to jump on that. It was such a natural
for you. It was. Well, we were talking about so much barbecue last week with Independence Day and stuff. That's what you're thinking about.
Speaking of which, isn't this the week for the Comedy Sports Championship that's going on here?
It's coming up very soon. It's starting at the end of this week. So, yes, coming up very soon.
So get prepared for that. I have not one, but two things you might be intrigued by at the Indianapolis Arts Center. You know, a lot of people have this idea that if you commit to a class, class there, it's weeks and weeks and weeks. No, not true. They do have some workshops that just take place on a single day. Coming up on July 16th and 17th, it's Saturday from noon to 6 and Sunday from noon to 6. It's a mud cloth workshop. You can learn about the traditional method of dyeing cotton cloth with mud and figure out how that process works and actually learn this technique yourself. And then on July 23rd from 9 to 3, it's a willow workshop, and you have your choice of things to build.
Nice.
There's a slightly different fee depending on what you want to build. Yeah, you can build an end table or a garden arbor or a garden bench or a tripod trellis and flat trellis. So depending on what would look great at your house, you can take that willow workshop 9 to 3 on July 23rd. Go to the IndianapolisArtsCenter.org website and you can learn more about that and sign up for those.
Cool. More concerts that I want to mention. Down at Easley Winery downtown, they've got the Groovin' in the Garden series. Concerts are Tuesdays from 5 to 7 and then Saturdays 2 to 5. And they've got some upcoming concerts, including Luke Austin Dowdery on July 9th, Blue Academy on July 12th, Tonos Triad on July 26th, and Jamato on July 19th. And then also the Indianapolis Zoo's Animals and All That Jazz series starts up July 14th with Women in Jazz. Those performances are at the zoo on Thursday evenings, the 14th through July 14th through August 18th. And performances begin at 5:30, and it's tons of fun at the zoo, of course, checking out the jazz. And then so Women in Jazz July 14th, Cynthia Lane coming up July 21st.
Hey, speaking of jazz, I want to mention, you'll hear more about this on next week's show, but the Indianapolis Jazz Fest is, of course, year-round behind the scenes. There's always something going on with it, but right now they're starting to gear up and starting to look for volunteers for this year's festival, which begins on September 11th. So if that intrigues you, you might want to go to the website and noodle around and think about where you'd like to volunteer at Indianapolis Jazz Fest this year.
Cool. Hey, interesting things happening over at the Phoenix Theater. If you had not seen Avenue Q, they did add three performances, and those are taking place on July 15th, 16th, and 17th. They've also, they're opening with a bang. That's opening on Thursday, July 14th as planned, but increased demand for Avenue Q has made them add three more shows. So those will be taking place again Friday, July 15th at 8 p.m., Saturday at 6 p.m., and then on Sunday the 17th, last chance at 5 p.m. if you want to go see Avenue Q at the Phoenix Theater.
Travis, I know you have a fun car. It's a convertible. It's a peppy little VW. You like to drive, don't you?
I do.
Well, here's something to pay attention to. The Lincoln Highway Adventure 2011. Are you familiar with the Lincoln Highway?
I'm not.
Well, what this road trip will allow you to do is explore Indiana's segment of the Lincoln Highway, America's first transcontinental highway. The event kicks off in downtown South Bend with a vintage car First Friday cruise in. This is all coming up in early August, but you're going to want to make plans soon. That's on August 5th. Then on the 6th, the adventure launches from South Bend with stops in New Carlisle, LaPorte, Valparaiso, and Dyer following the 1913 route, then returning to Plymouth following the 1928 route. And you can get more information about all this at Lincoln Highway Adventure online, Lincoln Highway Adventure, and find out more about this historic road. And it's just sounds like a lot of fun to gather up some friends.
Yeah,
and fill
sounds like
your
a
car
great
and...
top-down trip.
Exactly right.
Top down with a car.
I think they knew that.
Just checking, make sure you did. Sharon, I know it is the middle of July. I love it when I get you laughing. It's the middle of July, but you know what? It's not too early to start thinking about...
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
A Christmas Carol
at the IRT.
The IRT is having auditions for the kids. That's right. Indiana Repertory Theater is having auditions for its seasonal classic, A Christmas Carol, for boys and girls ages 8 to 13. And the auditions are on Tuesday, July 26th, Wednesday, July 27th, 5 to 7 p.m. You got to contact the IRT to schedule your audition appointment for your kids and for additional audition information.
That's tricky. Easy for you to say.
But yeah, it's not too early to start thinking about Tiny Tim and the falling snow.
Meanwhile, if you want to still celebrate the fact that it's only July and we've, it's only officially been summer for a couple of weeks,
right?
Think about going to the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra's concert at Connor Prairie next week to hear the Sinatra Songbook with Steve Lippia. Guest conductor Jerry Steichen and noted singer Steve Lippia is going to join the orchestra. We'll join the orchestra to present the many hits by legendary singer Frank Sinatra. They just never grow old. New
Very
interpretation,
cool.
New generation.
The Symphonic Youth Orchestra of Greater Indianapolis has announced its performance dates for their season. They've got two concerts coming up. One of them is actually Saturday, July 9th at 1 p.m. So if you're listening on Friday night, you can still check this out. It's going to be at the Arts Garden. It's Circle Center Mall. But if you missed that one, they're also doing a free concert on Saturday, July 16th at 7 p.m. at Cathedral High School in the auditorium. And these are concerts that feature Mendelssohn and Brahms and lots of other great stuff. It's the Summer Youth Orchestra program that is based out of Marion University, and it features some really, really talented high school and some middle school kids working together. And again, it's the Symphonic Youth Orchestra of Greater Indianapolis, the SYO. Get more information at syogi.org.
Very good. Speaking of dates, I should mention that the Frank Sinatra covers at Symphony on the Prairie are next week, July 15th and 16th. Of course, this week you can hear Christopher Cross with the ISO.
Yes.
Covering his hit singles like Sailing and Arthur's Theme and Never Be the Same and Ride Like the Wind. Jack Everly is conducting that concert this weekend at Symphony on the Prairie.
It's hard to say those titles without starting to hear the songs
in
your mind.
I know, it is.
Hey, last thing I want to mention is Indie Fringe, of course, is coming up in August. But there's a lot of stuff that the Fringe is doing in July to get ready, including shows Run, Alice, Run with director and choreographer DeAndre Jackson. And that is taking place July 14th through the 16th, sort of based on Alice in Wonderland, but it's told through song and dance with puppets and lots of other fun stuff. And then also, I just love this title, Opera on Demand, July 19th at the Fringe. that's what it is. It's Opera on Demand. It's sort of a party, sort of opera. Who knows what else it involves.
I think you get a remote control and you push the button
start
singing.
And then they start and then you can also stop
Darte,
them
and then if you can stop in the middle of a phrase.
Awesome. And then July 22nd through the 23rd at Indie Fringe, the Transcript Sisters, or Hypnoprov. So hypnotism, improvisation, I have no idea what else is going on.
Sounds
at the
like
Fringe.
An experience.
Fringe always does fun stuff, and they've got a clown show at the end of the month. Anyway,
Ooh,
you can get more information at indiefringe.org. And also, just let you know, they are starting to sell tickets for The Longest Dinner, which is their great fun celebration of basically the longest dinner table you can possibly imagine on sort of on Mass Ave to support the Fringe, and that's coming up all very soon too.
A lot of fun. Reminder one last time that you might want to consider a road trip to the T.C. Steele State Historic Site. You actually should consider a road trip there anytime, but right now you can see the second rotation of Arts and Crafts Moments, featuring pieces from the Indiana State Museum collection that represents the arts and crafts movement, including pottery, furniture, fine art, graphic arts, and textiles. That's going on
awesome.
Right now through November 1st.
Lots of great stuff going on.
Absolutely.
And we will be back with even more great stuff next week on that calendar we call
What'll We Do? Top Down Edition.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
What does it take to make the Andrews Brothers into a musical? 3 wigs and a lot of makeup. Travis DiNicola spoke with actor Don Farrell and director David Engel about the Actors Theater of Indiana's patriotic production of this tribute to the music and performers of World War II.
Don, it's always a pleasure to see you and chat about Actors Theater of Indiana and your new home up at the Studio Theater in Carmel.
We're very excited and blessed to have a home finally after all these years moving here from New York City in 2005, and now we've been able to secure a home up in Carmel.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful space. Yeah. Just beautiful.
And Chicago went well?
Chicago went very well.
Yes.
Wonderful production. We had a blast there. It was our first time in the space. We got a lot of new people who had never seen an Actors Theater of Indiana show.
Cool.
And as well as all our other patrons who have been mm-hmm. with us along the way. And, yeah, we just had a fabulous time. We hit it out of the park.
All right. We're glad to hear that. That's great. And so now you've got the Andrews Brothers, which sounds just like a hoot. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a very fun show. David, I know you've been brought in to direct and choreograph. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get connected with these guys here?
Well, actually, we've known each other for years because mm-hmm. I was one of the original cast members of Forever Plaid in New York.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so we know each other that way.
Sure.
We have that brotherhood.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There. And this show, The Andrews Brothers, was actually written by Roger Bean, who does he did The Marvelous Wonderettes, which was off Broadway, and he does a ton of jukebox musicals, very much like Forever Plaid. It's known songs put into a setting and a situation and characters and reason to sing the songs, but it's they're plays. Anyways, this was written for the three of us that were original, three of the original four plaids.
Oh, fun.
And so we've done five productions of it, so I know it very well, and I've directed
sure,
it before,
sure.
And so he asked me to come out and do it. And it's a fun show. It's a total crowd-pleasing show.
Okay, so it is all, it seemed to me like from what I had just read about it, it is all existing music that's been brought together, but it's sort of based around the story of well, tell me a bit about the story. It sounds like there's some wigs, there's some dresses, there's some guys in drag, it's, you know.
That's,
and World War II, yeah.
Yes, that's hardly the story, but it does happen in the show. It is actually, these are all songs that people know. They're mm-hmm. really familiar songs. And then some, you know, that people don't, too. But a lot of Andrew Sisters, great traditional Andrew Sisters songs, Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy by Mia Bistichain, Rum and Coca-Cola, Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree. But there's also...
Very fun stuff.
Oh, yeah, great stuff. And but there's also songs that aren't Andrew Sisters. They're just mm-hmm. 40s, you know, great songs and ditties, you know, also like Mary's Dotes and Dozy Dotes and a whole bunch of just great, great, great.
Packed with great music. Over 27 songs, I think, when I counted it up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's loaded. So anyways, the premise is they're in the South Pacific, uh-huh. on an island in the South Pacific, ready to put on a show for the USO troops, for the troops. And there are these three brothers, the Andrews Brothers, and they are stagehands. They are 4F. Is that what it is? 4F?
4F.
Yeah, they're 4F, so they aren't in the service, but they're in the USO, and they're all waiting for the Andrews Sisters to show up that night for the show.
Okay.
And Peggy Jones is the kind of opening act for the Andrews Sisters, and she's there. And so it's just the four of them. And then turn of events... There's, you know.
And hilarity ensues.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. But the guys are all very earnest, and she is as well, you know. And so the audience really gets to know these characters, and they're really endearing, and it's really, really sweet, and really, it's very funny and gets crazy. I have never done a show where the audience just screams with laughter the way they do in this show.
It's very, very funny.
The one thing that I'm most curious about here is with the Andrews Sisters songs, which are so great. So the guys that are singing it, I mean, they're singing them. They're not singing them with female voices.
No.
So how does that all work? I mean,
Mostly these are actually the Andrews Sisters charts, and
okay.
and then there's other charts in the show, but it's all tight harmony. It's all three part, and then when Peggy's with him, four part harmony.
Okay.
Name?
There's Mary's Dotes.
No. I was thinking the name of the group that sang in the 40s. It was four guys. Maybe one
four
of your
lads.
No, that was the 50s. That was the
right.
Anyways, I can't think of the name of the group that sang like Pennsylvania 65,000 and stuff like that. But anyways, it's all very tight harmony.
Got it, okay.
But the it's the Andrews Sisters charts that the guys sing, and then raised up like a fourth to make it more singable in men's voices. But they don't sing it in women's voices at all.
Okay.
To elevate those charts, because originally when Roger did them, they were a little bit lower, and then you guys finessed them and really made them pop for the male voice.
Okay. So tell me about the cast, because it's got to be a really talented cast to pull this off.
We have great people. We have Mary Jane Raleigh, who's in from New York City, and she's our pinup girl, Peggy Jones. And then we have Michael Dotson, who played Frankie for us in our production of Forever Plaid, and he's here as Lawrence Andrews. And then Jay Emmerich, who is an ATI favorite. He's played Smudge for us before Forever Plaid, but also he's so multi-talented. He mm-hmm. plays the upright acoustic bass. He was our bassist for Chicago. He's kind of like a jack of all trades, and so he's playing Max Andrews, and I'm playing Patrick.
Well, there you go.
Patrick Andrews.
Patrick.
And there's a bit of a love interest between Peggy yes. and Patrick.
Oh, yes. Is there, Doug?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
It's really cute.
It
really
is.
Sweet.
And of course those guys, you know, they're all quirky, and mm-hmm. it's a good transition from having that background for Forever Plaid,
yeah.
and transition that into for the Andrews Brothers, because each of them have their own idiosyncrasies, they all just will do anything in the world for Peggy Jones to make her dreams come true, and they find a way to. Finally,
make their own dreams come
make
true.
Make their own dreams come true. Yes.
It
absolutely.
Sounds like a delightful show. A good show for families?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
across
not just for people who love music of that era, but
yep.
but definitely it sounds
it's
like
very
a
accessible
show.
To everybody. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally. Like Forever Plaid. It's
yeah.
very much like that. And that's so, I mean, it's cross generational.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, from kids to old folks, you know, and that's who this totally plays to. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's entertained by it.
I bet the choreography's fun, too. Tell me a bit about that.
Okay, so I have to tell you, I mean, I am directing and choreographing it, but it is totally the work of Nick DiGruccio and Roger Castellano, who originated the production.
Okay.
I have their blessing, and I'm putting their name on this as well. I mean, I'm at the helm, but I am doing their work. But it's really, really fun stuff. The direction was kind of a group effort when we did it, because mm-hmm. the three of us that were original Plaids, we just have a history and a shorthand and trust, and we just all bounce off each other. And so between the five of us, Roger and Nick and the three of us, we came up with some great hysterical shtick, mm-hmm. that physical shtick that goes on, that's really fun. Like I said, I've never heard an audience scream with laughter like this. The choreography is Roger Castellano, and it's so taken from a lot of the original Andrew's sister's choreography
okay.
and movies of the day. He
yeah.
really did his research, and it's busy stuff. I mean, there is stuff going on every second. The guys and Mary Jane, who's learning this, I mean, they have been – it's such a dense show. They have to learn all these musical numbers, and it's one right after the other, and then all the dialogue and story too, but it's – dense harmony and dense choreography, and they're just like, finally today we have a day off. I know they're all just collapsing. It's a lot of work, but
Now we're recording this
actually
before
right.
you guys open, and you open the night that we first air this on Art of the Matter on the 8th of July. Don, how's it going for you right now with the choreography?
It's going. We're putting together. You know, we're taking it in layers,
uh-huh.
and we keep moving forward on the march towards opening night, and
it's
going great. It's going very. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun in rehearsal.
Good.
That's one of the great things too. When you assemble, we've been very, very blessed with all the talent that is mm-hmm. able to join us. You know, Michael coming in from, David coming in from L.A., Michael Dotson also coming in from L.A., Mary Jane from the East Coast, and Jay here. But still, we're just having a great time, and so that just makes the journey even more fun.
You know, Actors Theatre of Indiana is a really sort of a unique group in that you have this, you know, sort of home base here, and essentially really you know, this home ensemble of talent. But then you also are able to bring in mm-hmm. people from outside, professional actors. Give me just a very quick background, sort of on sort of the mission of Actors Theatre of Indiana, if you will.
Well, we moved here from New York City in 2005 and started operations, and we always knew that we had met with Mayor Brainerd and learned about his vision. We knew we would need to have a home, and so we working our way towards where we are now, finally having a home up to that point. But our specialty is in musical theater,
mm-hmm.
and we have done some plays and farces as well along the way, but primarily musical theater is
yeah.
our specialty. And it's a nice mix of being able to combine local talent, because there's a wonderful talent pool here in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah.
That and being able to supplement that with talent that we and friends that we've been able to make all the many years we were in New York City and traveling all across the nation, internationally as well. And being able to join those two together has been a great thing for the community.
So now this show runs through the 24th of July, the Andrews Brothers, again. Mm-hmm. Give me a quick preview of what else you have going on at Actors Theater coming up in the near future.
Yeah, we're very excited. We can start season subscription sales. We're going to be sending out our brochure this week, I think. And it'll probably be hitting people in the mailbox soon. But we're starting with a musical review about Cole Porter. Perfect way to start that out, of course, from Indiana's favorite son, Cole Porter. That's going to be September 9th to the 25th at the Studio Theater at the Center for the Performing Arts. Then we're going to be doing Forbidden Broadway, October 28th to November 20th in the Studio Theater. That's wonderful. It's basically Saturday Night Live parodies, all of the Broadway shows that we love and hold near and dear to our hearts. It's and so that's going to be in October through November. Then in we do our annual A Year with Frog and Toad at the Pike Performing Arts Center, and that'll be coming up also. That'll be December 16th, 17th, and 18th at Pike. And then back at the Studio Theater, we'll be doing Godspell, February 10th to the 26th, that great, wonderful show by Stephen Schwartz based on the Gospel According to St. Matthew. And then rounding off our season, April 27th to May 20th, will be a musical, I think it's the longest off-Broadway running musicals. I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change.
Oh, yeah, it ran for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, awesome. Very funny show about relationships, and everybody can relate to that, too.
Travis DiNicola with Don Farrell and David Engel of the Actors Theater of Indiana. The patriotic musical The Andrews Brothers runs through July 24th at the Studio Theater in the Center for the Performing Arts in Carmel, and you can get more information at actorstheaterofindiana.org. They spell theater T-H-E-A-T-R-E, so actorstheaterofindiana.org. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 4 when I'll chat with Gregory Hancock about their upcoming season of dance theater.
I'll get a preview of this year's Indie Jazz Fest.
And I'll talk with artist and arts entrepreneur Jim Walker about his current show at Wuglacoo's Studio and Garage and some other projects he's got going on as well. And of course, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? So please listen next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and from the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.